morning, I want you to open to the book of Psalm 103. You know, I want to briefly discuss with us one of the very important things in life. You need to know it, I need to know it. It's important that for every one of us to know this. It will help you. It has helped a whole lot of people in this life. Psalm 103. I'm going to read first verse number 8 and verse number 11. Verse number 8 says, God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He had not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. I wanted to mark verse 11. Very important. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that do what? That fear him. You know, a lot of people really don't know how high is the heaven from the earth. Few weeks ago, they had shown us how far some parts of the heaven, even though they didn't get to the heavens of heaven, is far from the earth. Because NASA, 10 years ago, planned and sent Imago to Mars. And the thing left the earth 10 years ago, arrived there about a month ago. And what we should know is that that thing was flying at a speed of 1 million per hour and have been traveling for 10 years ago and finally made it there a month ago or so. Come and see celebration. Well, we're not talking about all of that. So the Bible said, as far as the heavens is from the earth, so far is the mercy of God towards us. Which means the mercy of God can be very great and very wonderful and so precious. But the key to that verse is that the mercy of God is great to them that did what? That fear him. Because I can tell you now, in this present life, people are having a big problem. They are living anyhow, they are talking anyhow, they are doing anyhow, and they are living like there's no God. If there is God, is a merciful God, is a God of love, we don't have to be uptight over living right and doing right. You know, I think if you read your Bible, you will find certain people who lived a life like there is no heaven. People like Eli, people like King Saul, and on goes the list. People like Nebuchadnezzar, and people like Ahab, and the rest of them, people like Jezebel. I am of the opinion, really, that dogs would not have eaten Jezebel had she lived right and pleased God and worshiped God and honored God with her life. So it is important and very, very, very nice that every one of us in this life, doesn't matter how big, how low, how rich, how poor, how educated, how uneducated you are, the most important thing in life is we must fear God. And for everyone that fear God, there is a mercy extended to you. And the mercy of God is great. The mercy of God is wonderful. The mercy of God will make you to achieve and be blessed like you've never been blessed before. And look at what the Bible said here. This is very interesting. Let's look at what it says here. And that is the degree of the mercy of God towards us. Let's see what it said in verse number 10. He said, he had not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. And you know it was the book of Psalm also who said that if God will deal with us according to our sin, nobody will stand today. Nobody will be here today, because there were some of us who come to church today, you quarreled before you came. You talk bad before you came. You insulted somebody before you came. In fact, on the way, you're driving, minding your own business, loving the Lord, and wanting to go serve the Lord, and somebody drives very crazily in the front of you, and without knowing, you accidentally curse the person before you, find a check in your spirit. And yet, God didn't kill you on the way. You know, it is the Bible who said that because the judgment of God doesn't come suddenly, the wicked continue in their wickedness. Is that not what the Bible said? I mean, they just keep doing things like, what is it? There's no God. It will happen now. I will know when it will happen. I will adjust and amend my ways and all of that before it happened. But listen now, I'm pleading with you, I'm advising you. This life is running to an end, though. This whole thing is wrapping up. It will not, I mean, this life will be. Things are folding up. And if he does, what will it be when he comes and meets you or me not ready? That is the consciousness that I think every Christian should have, to know that tomorrow may not be your own. You see, I was reading a few weeks ago, and I think that's the chapters that I'm reading out, the book of Daniel every day, and I started reading the book of Daniel, and I read chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. I was amazed, because in chapter 3 or 4 says there is a king called Belshazzar. One day God was talking to his father and said to his father, listen my friend, your days are numbered, you are running out of mercy, and so on and so forth. He didn't hear. In fact, there was a dream he had one full year before he was judged. And Daniel came, interpreted the dream, and told him, listen, my friend, this will happen. He never learned anything from what Daniel said. A year later, the Bible said he climbed a story building and began to boast and said, I've done all of this by my power. I've done all of this by my might. And God said, today, all the story he told him before, that this man in this dream, he goes into the wilderness after 7 years or 7 times, and then he lives with the beast and dew falls on him. He had claws like that of bells. that happened to him, a man that was one full years earlier on, didn't listen and became like the beast of the field. Lived there 7 years until his understanding returned to him to know that the God who is in heaven also rule in the affairs of men. He repented and God had mercy on him. But you know what was funny though? Is for his son to know all of these stories that happened to his father and begin to live anyhow. And then Daniel was talking to him and saying, your father, even thy father. And he couldn't learn anything from his father's mistakes to live right. And the boy was punished also because he never learned from his father. Listen, my friend, I think it would be stupid of a man, any man for that matter, to see people there fall into the pit and not learn from others. To go and pass another place and say, I don't mind that. Make I reach there first before I know whether the pit they are falling into is really a good pit or a small pit. Would that not be stupid? And then you have Christians today who are living anyhow. They are not learning. They are living like there's no God. They will be the one fornicating. They will be the one lying. They will be the one gossiping. They will be the one bad writing. They will be the one having not the fear of God. You see, I said that some time ago. If you, I may not have been here yet. Oh, I think I have one time here. You see, if you understand what Abraham understood. Abraham was to give to God his son Isaac. His understanding was, if Isaac is given to God and he dies, the man who said I should give Isaac is able to raise him up. I will still give to him. And you know, Christian never learned from that. That God can raise the dead and God can bless anybody that trusts in him and then give to him to try him. And so they will force you about tithing and offerings and all of that. But my friend, let me tell you what. There is a devourer that needed to be rebuked. And it takes God all by himself to do all of that. So we must fear God. The Bible said, and keep his commandments. And he said his commandments are not bad. They are not hard. Let's see what he said again here. Psalm 103. He said, for as the heaven is higher than, far high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that do what? So great is his mercy towards them that fear him. Which means the mercy of God, or the quality, or the quantity of the mercy of God, is dependent on your fear of him. How you loved him and love his word, how you're determined to please God and to do his will every day of your life. So I am saying to you, church of God, let's love him, because the more we love him, the more and the great the mercy of God we will have in our lives. I can tell you now, there's nothing like the mercy of God. Ask David, he will tell you there's nothing like the mercy of God. Can you imagine? In Israel that time, if you do anything stupid, really, you are meant to kill. I mean, they will kill you. In fact, the Bible said, don't convert another man's wife. And yet, David have had a soft spot for God. He loved God. He really wanted to please God to the best of his understanding. Then one day he saw a woman taking her bath and lusted after her and sent somebody, go call that woman for me. You all know what he did. Have sex with the woman. She became pregnant. And when they noticed that the woman was pregnant, the man was in the battlefield. They sent for the man. And then the man came, wanted the man to go sleep his house. The man said, Israel is important. The army of God is important. The tent of God is important to him. And because all of that, he's committing himself to go and fight. He doesn't want to go home. And knowing that the man did not go home to sleep, David had a plan B. Let's kill this boy. Because if he's not there and found out that everybody knows he has been in the battlefield, how can the wife be pregnant when the man is in the battlefield? He said, we have to kill him. So they killed him. They asked him, you know, his captain, advance to the heat of the battle, Joab. And then when the battle is hot, withdraw thyself from this man. And the battle really was hot. The man dies. And David thought, thank you, Jesus. The secret can never be known anymore. After all, the woman gave birth after the man died. So she must have gotten married to somebody after the man dies. And all of a sudden, one day, knock, 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 who the house? A prophet by the name called Nathan came to the king's palace and got to the king's palace and said, oh king, live forever. And he said, how are you? He said, fine, sir. Sit down there. He said, no, I have a message for you, sir. He said, it's troubling me what I'm seeing in this, your kingdom. There was a man who had one sheep and another had several. But the man that had several came to the man who had one and took his sheep and then used it to entertain his visitor and so on and so forth. You see, because David had was right, he said that man had committed a terrible sin. He should be dealt with. He should be made to pay for his sin. And Nathan said, O king, you are the one. But do you know when the king was told that he was the one, the man acknowledged his sin, repented of his sin, and was willing to do anything, and so on and so forth. And God said, no problem, no problem, I forgive you. And God proved that when the child that was born of that pregnancy died. And then the woman get pregnant again and gave birth to Solomon. The actual name that God gave to Solomon, you know, people don't name their children, only a few that really read their Bible to remember what name God gave to Solomon and called their children by the name Solomon. But we know Solomon. And it wasn't God who gave that name. God gave Solomon Jedidiah, the son of my beloved. In the fact that this child was born out of wedlock, but God had forgotten the past, had forgotten what the man did because of his love and mercy and the repentance heart of the man, and said, go tell David, this child that you gave birth to, you know, it may be your child, but it's my beloved. That is the mercy of God we're talking about. If you develop a heart of love, a heart of the fear of God, the Bible said in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord helps a man to depart from iniquity. You can tell, though, that in this country today that you and I live in, a lot of people have lost the fear of God. Government officials have lost the fear of God. President and vice and governors and all of that, they have lost the fear of God. And no wonder we're in the trouble that we are in today, because nobody fears God. How can you say a man fears God? He wants a position. He is killing an innocent baby so that he can get to the position. How can you say that a man fears God? He sees his public money. He thinks it's his own. But I was thinking a few days ago, you know, now they are saying they want to make for us 5,000 naira note, and it will cost 40 billion to print it. What do we gain from the 5,000 note if it is printed? Have you ever thought of that? I don't see anything that we gain from it. Because I know if we pardon the project, and the 500 and the 40 billion a road from Benin to Abuja. Will it not tie those roads? And perhaps you will have some leftover of that money, and you can go and tie the one that lead from Uromi to Agbo. Because people who passes that road now know that is not a road meant for human being. And you may have change that may tie other road, or perhaps buy equipment for our hospital. You know, and I know people go to hospital, you have to buy, and yet you pay nothing. There will be so much getting all the instrument and the material to work with, because no fear of God anymore. No fear of God anymore. I was talking to somebody this morning. Was it this morning or yesterday? Can't remember. He lives in South Africa. Called me this morning to wish me happy birthday. And I said, what are your plans? When are you graduating? He's doing his PhD. He said it's going to be next year. I said, what are your plans? Are you coming to come and be begging for employment, writing applications everywhere? He said, no, sir. I've already got a job. And I don't intend to come back. I said, good for you. Work there so that when I come there, you might give me good offering. But the truth of the matter is, it's not about offering really, but do you know there are graduates in this country today who have finished 5 years ago, don't have a job, and yet they are not thinking of a good industry that will gainfully employ these people? You are spending 40 billion to print 5,000 notes. I think people are no longer thinking. When they lose the fear of God, they lose their senses of judgment. We need the fear of God. Central Bank Governor, I wish you hear me. I hope you hear me. That you need the fear of God. Because the important thing in this nation is not about 5,000 notes. It's not about 2,000 notes. Do you know in this in other countries, pennies are still acceptable? They are going through the same economy problem, and yet pennies are available, are acceptable, and they use it in their stores and their places of businesses. We are not even going through as much as what they are going through. Nobody accepts our 5 naira note anymore. Can buy biscuit, can do anything, and you think spending 40 billion for a printing of our 5,000 is what will benefit us? I disagree with you, sir. And it's about time we change and do the right thing in this country. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. At least I can advise him. He's my younger brother. He's 46. I'm 60. I should be able to advise him. Hallelujah. We must, Christian, let me talk to you. We should have the fear of God. But when we have the fear of God, we won't steal, we won't lie, we won't do all this kind of nyama nyama thing. Our hearts will not be corrupted. It will not be what I will gain. Let's be a blessing to our community. Let's be a blessing to our nation. Let's be a blessing to one another. And let's know, when you stay
in the fear of God, the mercy and the compassion and the goodness and the graciousness of God, it will come upon us like a mighty ocean. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Listen, I really think Nigeria need to rise up and say we don't need 5,000 note. We need to rise up in this nation and say we don't. I'm okay. I'm having problem now. You know, using the. I really like when pennies will be good. I like it. I mean, those other people, you know, there were days we spent eToro. I talked about eToro bread here the other day. There were a currency we call eToro. We use it in this country. It was powerful. And now you have 1,000 is nothing. Is it when you have 5,000 that will be nothing? Let's treat the soul that is paining us. Not the thing that we don't even have problems with in this country today. Let's forget about all of those things. I don't have problem if they make penny to be good. I don't have problem spending it all. In fact, if they will accept it from me, I have some pennies at home. You know, there's one naira currency. I mean, this is it copper money or something? Or silver? There's one naira. They don't change it. They don't use it anymore. It said, the mercy of God is great to them that fear him. Let's fear him. When we fear him, do you know that there could be some honest mistake that people made? You do things because you don't know. You make a turn because there are no traffic lights to guide you when to make a turn and when not to make a turn. I was amazed really the other day. A year ago or two, I went to South Africa. Little town that I went, my friend, the traffic light, the sunlight, and everything, they were walking. I mean, the whole of Ekpoma have not even a stop sign light, a stop sign in the place. They don't have a traffic light. And the city that I went, that I'm talking about, Ekpoma is by far bigger than that. Look at all the roads within Ekpoma Motor Press. They are terrible. And look at all the outlets, they are so terrible. And you are spending 40 billion. And you know what even angers me in the whole thing? We have a meat company. If I'm just buying the paper and the mercury or whatever, I mean, it reduces my cost. But no, they will give it to Korea company. They have to give it to China. You know, a lot of things are done in China now. They have to give it to China company. And when they printed it, only heaven knows what amount of money they printed and what finally get into this country. The mercy of God is great to them that fear him. Church people, let's trust this mercy of God and let's fear him. You know, yesterday night, Friday night, one of our pastors, Pastor Akele, they had an all-night prayer in their Ujale branch. By the time they got back home in the morning, everything in his house, their bed and everything, they were turned upside down. People went there, ransacked the place, break through and stole whatever. In fact, they stole yam, they stole oil, they stole garri, they stole. By the time they got home, that Saturday morning, yesterday morning, they had virtually nothing to cook in their house. Because everything was moved away. The reason those things happen is because people have no fear of God anymore. How can you go to a pastor's house knowing he served God and his God could fight you And when his God is fighting you, you can't stand. And they went to steal everything in the house. And when that person dies or have a problem, they will blame the witchcraft in their village. Whereas his lack of the fear of God created his problem. Well, I guess you have to come back next Sunday. Go and chew what you've heard this morning and learn to fear God. If you fear God and I fear God, we will have no problem. What is meant for you, I cannot say because I'm in power. You have not gotten there. Let me take it. You have nothing to do. You can't do anything. You can't say anything. You know, I can't do that because I fear God. And I know that God is the avenger of those who troubles the people who help themselves. I pray for you today. I pray that your heart will be softened to fear God. The Bible said that Pharaoh will have no fear of God in his heart, and God drowned him at the Red Sea. I pray for you today that you will not be drowned in any sea of this life in the name of the Lord Jesus. You will fear God and depart from iniquity, and the fear of God in your heart will be the beginning of wisdom. I pray that the blessings of heaven will come upon you and make you great in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.